Brothers and sisters, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. So for many years, I have been teaching religious studies courses at the college level. And at the opening of every semester, on the first day of class, I ask my students to write down some basic information on an index card, like their major, their year, and, you know, like why they're taking the course. And on the back of the card, I ask them to put down their religious affiliation, because I just kind of want to know what the demographics of the class are. And without fail, over half the class write down the following statement every semester, which I'm sure many of us have heard on many an occasion. Now, please help me to fill in the blank. I am spiritual, but...
not religious.
Very good. Yes, I am spiritual, but not religious. And this has been, over the years, the consistent response of over half of my students when I ask them this question. And I'm always entertained by the addendum of many that many students add. And they say this in a rather ashamed way. They will often add, well, I was raised Roman Catholic, but I don't practice it anymore. Like, I assure you, I don't practice it anymore. Now, I am spiritual. In other words, I have outgrown the need for organized religion. That is, there is a general attitude that I have detected among many of my students that being spiritual is somehow superior to being religious. Religion for many is all about indoctrination, going through the motions of some ancient rituals, following what your parents have taught you. So religion is often regarded as, you know, rigid and restricting. But spirituality, on the other hand, is all about freedom. It's about powerful personal experiences of the divine, heightened self-awareness, and a deeper connection with the universe. So for many of my students, to be spiritual sounds more attractive, and arguably, it is more socially acceptable in the Northeast to be spiritual than to be affiliated with an organized religion. Now, of course, I am never satisfied with just letting things lie fallow. And so every semester, I cannot help myself but to ask my class, you know, what exactly is spirituality to you? You know, you say you're spiritual, but what does that mean? And of course, you know, this is not a trap for them. I'm genuinely curious as to what young people think about this. But without fail, when I ask this question, everyone in the class grows silent. Everyone seemingly draws a blank. Nobody knows what it means. But normally one student will raise their hand and they will offer some kind of an illustration. They will say something to the effect of like, well, spirituality is like when I go for a hike in the woods and I feel some indescribable feeling and I hear the birds chirping and I feel a connection with the birds and the trees, a connection with the universe, and yes, every so often with a higher being. And he or she will often add to this, I feel more spiritual hiking in the woods than I do when I'm in church. And so maybe that's why they are spiritual but not religious. Now, after hearing this, I am spiritual but not religious speech over the course of many years, I became growingly concerned because spirituality, as it has been explained to me, is so vague. I mean, there's not much substance to it. And I've asked myself many times, what exactly is spirituality? And as a Christian who considers himself spiritual, what exactly is meant by Christian spirituality? Well, in our epistle today from 1 Corinthians, St. Paul gives us a glimpse into what it means for a Christian to be spiritual. Now, he does not give us a comprehensive definition of Christian spirituality, But he does touch upon some of what we might call the characteristics of being spiritual. So what does he say? Well, to begin, St. Paul says that someone is spiritual when they have a close, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And what is the Holy Spirit? In Paul's words, it is the Spirit of God. It is this mysterious entity that, in the words of Paul, searches everything, even the depths of God. And this Holy Spirit, he adds, is our guide and our teacher. It ascends to search out heavenly wisdom and descends to reveal this wisdom to us. The Spirit teaches us spiritual things. It teaches us the wisdom of God, which is secret and hidden. So to be spiritual means that you live by the Spirit. You let it be your guide and your teacher in this life. And for us to be effective students of the Spirit, for us to grasp and discern the wisdom of God, Paul emphasizes that spiritual people must discern all things. We must discern the movements of the Spirit in the world and in our lives and in our relationships. We must discern when to actively pursue the Spirit and passively allow it to work through us. And to do this, we are called by God to fine-tune our spiritual senses. And this means being prayerful, contemplative, humble, and open to the revelations of the Spirit. And lastly, Paul preaches that those who are spiritual are those who reap the fruits of the Spirit. And what are these fruits of the Spirit? Well, as Paul outlines in his letter to the Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In other words, when the Spirit reveals itself to us and we welcome the Spirit into our hearts and into our minds, it transforms us. We become more patient, kind, peaceful, and loving. And these fruits for St. Paul are the true mark of spirituality. And even John the Evangelist writes about the spiritual fruit of love. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. So put succinctly, what is Christian spirituality? What have we learned from St. Paul? For Paul, to be spiritual as a Christian means that we live by the Spirit and accept it as our guide. And this means to dedicate our lives to contemplating the Spirit, discerning it, welcoming it into our hearts and into our minds. And in accepting the Spirit as our guide, we are little by little, every day, transformed by it. And our love and knowledge of God grows, and our faith in Jesus is strengthened. For as St. Paul reminds us, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, before we conclude, I would like to say just one more thing. In many respects, there is nothing wrong with being spiritual but not religious. I think that those who identify with this are genuinely searching for something, and they are open and receptive to things spiritual. But I would argue that those who are spiritual but not religious are really missing out on some important things. They are missing out on community, of being part of a spiritual community where we support one another as we seek to worship God in spirit and truth. They are missing out on a rich religious tradition that fuels our spiritual practice and our spiritual life. For our tradition is like a vine that continually nourishes us spiritually. And lastly, they are missing out on a beautiful sacramental life that pushes us forward in our spiritual journey. For it is through the sacraments that God grants us the gifts of grace that continue to energize our spirits and enlighten our minds. Even the great Christian mystics, these giants of spiritual athleticism, even they participated in sacramental life. I remember reading about the Desert Fathers, these ancient Christian monks who lived these solitary lives of prayer and contemplation. And what would they do? Every Sunday they would gather together to participate in the Eucharist because they knew that they depended upon the grace of God. They depended upon the sacraments in their lives. Now I'm going to put someone on the spot for a second here. This morning, one of the members of our choir, Milo, will be receiving his first communion. Yes, you over there. Who's hiding now? And in doing so, he will be entering into a new chapter in his spiritual life. A life that I pray will be ripe with the fruits of the Spirit. And as we witness Milo's first communion, perhaps it will inspire us to contemplate where we are in our spiritual lives today and to discern how much we have grown and what we can continue to do to grow in our knowledge and love of God. So Jesus has planted the seed. He has sent the Holy Spirit to nourish us and to bear fruit. We have our tradition. We have the sacraments. We have each other. Let us continue to walk in the Spirit. Let us continue to grow ever closer to God, the Beloved. Amen.